The life of Bernie Byers could hardly be described as ordinary. He's been a Marine, a fashion designer, a dancer and a teacher, but it was the dancing stint that brought Bernie from Europe to Australia in the early 1960s, where he eventually settled permanently. Bernie told RN's Michelle Rayner that as a young man, he'd never even considered a life on the stage, but started out studying to be a doctor.
I spent a year and a half at Penn State in pre-med and was thinking, no, this is not quite the thing for me. And I went away to the Navy, and I spent a year in the Navy, and they didn't want me in the Navy because the blacks were put in as stewards generally, and I had such an educational background, and they didn't know what to. And I went in as a seaman, and I was one of the first black seamen in the American Navy in that era. It was 46 or something. Once again, I don't know how I survived this one black person and all this whiteness.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song side by side.
I went back to Penn State and finished my 2 years. So I had 2 years of pre-med at Penn State. And during all this time, I was thinking about what I really wanted to do and this, that, and the other. And I decided that I wanted to be a fashion designer. So, yes, I wanted to go to Paris and possibly work there. And when I had finished Parsons School of Design and New York, NYU, New York University, I think I finished New York University one day, and the next day I was on the ship for Europe. And I never look back.
Every time I look down on this timeless town, whether blue or gray be her skies, whether loud be her cheers or whether soft be her tears.
Well, I was very unhappy in Paris. I arrived in wintertime, January, and it was cold and gray, and it just reminded me of death, these long Parisian windows, which they close the shutters and the sun. It had atmosphere about it, and I didn't have much money, and a bit of an effort for me just to live ordinarily and to look around and get a job and this, that, and the other. And actually, I got an interview at Dior's house, which was the big house, one of the big houses in Paris at that particular time. And it seemingly, I was going to have a job there because they thought, oh, it's interesting how this young black man here. They didn't know or care whether I had any talent or not, but I would be black and American. There's a bit of a cachet, you see, to have this person on their staff. And Dior was out of town at that particular time, and they had to wait for Dior to come back. He's in Switzerland or something. And I was very unhappy in Paris. And I met these people in show business, because that's what I wanted. After all, I was interested in show business, too. And they suggested, well, a man arrived from Rome who had a dance company, and his name was Claude Marchand. And Claude Marchand had an Afro-American, I think he called it Afro-Cuban dance company, modern dance and jazz, what have you. And he was looking for dancers and designers and what have you. I met him, I was introduced to him by the Peters sisters, which was an act of three big fat women at this Folies Bergère. And they were wonderful people, wonderful performers. And they said, well, look, you're not happy here, and why don't you go down to Rome and work with this company and until spring. So then come back to Paris when the weather is warm and you feel better about all this. So I went to Rome. I went to Rome to work with this company, Claude Marchand, and as a designer, really, not as a dancer, because I wasn't really a dancer. And one thing led to another. The club that we worked in Rome, the proprietor used to count the number of people on stage at night, and that's how he would pay. And one night, one of the dancers was ill, and he said, oh, but Bernie, just put him in the background. You know, put him. He said, just move your arms, see what we're doing with your arms and what have you. You know, we dress you up and put you back there. which was what they did. I'm going to do a little romance. I knew all of that, what have you. And Kruchandi, the owner, the proprietor, didn't know or see any difference. And I said, but they'll see that. They said, look, you're in Rome. Their eyes are on two things. They're either on the crotch of the men and the bust of the women. So you don't worry about it.
That's showbiz.
Yeah, that's showbiz.
Now, I don't like vanilla. I don't like chocolate. Give me some of that good tutti frutti. Tutti frutti frutti. Tutti frutti frutti. Tutti frutti frutti. Tutti frutti frutti.
John, we traveled around to Spain and various places, South Argentina and Chile, various places in South America. And I think I was with the company for about four or five years.
And it was a ticket to see the world.
Yes, it was. And it interested me. Like, you know, anyhow, I was faking my way through, but I was doing all right. It paid very well, for one thing, and I lived well.
And what sort of life was it on the road with this ensemble or a troupe?
Yes, well, you know, it was hard work. But we were in very good places, very good nightclubs. And as I said, we got paid exceptionally well. And
decent hotels.
Lived in hotels and things like that. And in being in Spain, I got this wonderful wardrobe made because it was so cheap to have clothes made. Yes, it was very interesting and very, very exciting. And even I can remember going to, we did London, the Ambassador Club, which I think doesn't exist anymore, and Old Bond Street. And it was a rather elegant, you know, a good life in a way. And you met lots of interesting people. And I can remember seeing, I didn't meet her, but Princess Margaret was often there at the club and things like that.
And it's hard for me to imagine that that there would have been many intersections between that world and, say, the left intelligentsia in Paris in the 50s, you know, Sartre or Beauvoir, or did
I
you ever...
I saw them at a distance, you know. I saw them and I did meet Camus. I met Camus. It's very friendly because Camus thought, when he saw me, thought that I was from North Africa, Algerian. And so he started his conversation. I didn't even know who he was, you know. So I'm sitting in Paris and chatting with him, and everybody's going... Like it's like, oh, he knows Camus. No, I didn't know who he was. Yeah.
And so, how did you meet James Baldwin?
Also there in Paris, I had left Claude Marchand and I'd come back to Paris, and I was working as a designer in a small boutique, skimping, making, just living, meeting interesting people. If you're living in France or someplace like that, you know, well, there's always fussing and fighting, who's left and who's right, and I don't know what in the center. And Sartre, and Sartre used to hang out there at the cafe too, and in De Beauvoir and all that. So it was just normal dialogue that you did. And me being a black American made me different from. I said, but you don't like Americans. Oh, but you're black, that's different, they would always say. I said, no, not really, but anyhow.
Presumably you wanted to live in Europe.
Oh, yes, I wanted to live in Europe, desperately. And when I left Claude Marchand, I came back to Paris, worked in this boutique, and one night was in a nightclub and saw these beautiful black people speaking this far, strange language. So, you know, what is that and what are they? So I went over and I said, you know, where are you from? And they were Brazilians. You know, they asked about me, what do you do? And at that time, I was also studying classical ballet just to be doing something in Paris and working with another small dance group that wanted to get started, black group. You know, we wanted to work at the Folies Bergère and things like that. And one of them said, well, why did you come and give us some classes? And this and that. Oh, yeah, well, that'd be interesting. So I went to this group of Brazilian people to give them classes, and they said, well, look, it we're going on a tour up to Scandinavia and this and the other, and we'd like for you to go with us and so forth and so on. And I thought, well, yeah, why not? So there I am with this Brasiliana, but they were doing more folklore. They did a bit of the jazzy stuff, but it was more pure folklore done up for the stage. Today it's dated, but as I think about it and I see it, you know, we'd end with Carnival because it was all the wildest and what people expected of Rio de Janeiro. And then, once again, I started dancing with them, and the lead dancer left, and they said, look, would you can you do it? I said, I don't know. So I took over, and I became more or less the lead dancer in Brasiliana.
Your love is rain, my heart the flower. I need your drink, or I will die. My very life is in your power. Will I wither and fade, or blossom to the sky?
Água de beber, água de beber.
Bernie Byers, also known as Bahia Bernie, whose stint with the Brasiliana dance troupe brought him to Australia in the early 1960s, where he eventually settled and took up teaching. But that particular chapter of Bernie's very big life is a story for another day.